Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour. I hope that you've had a wonderful weekend, a blessed Shabbat, and also a Shavua Tov, because we're already in the new week. And you know what? Welcome to the Restoration Hour, and it is Aliyah, and Yosef is joining me, of course. Obviously, he's definitely here, and we are looking forward to spending this time with you today. We are so expectant for Abba Father just to move in our hearts today. You know, we just really had a sense in our hearts that Abba Father wants to touch our hearts and touch our lives today. And so welcome. I hope that you've come with a heart that is expectant as well. As I always believe, it's so important that we come and we have those expectant hearts, that we say, Abba Father, you know what? We want to meet with you. We want to hear something from you today. And we know that we can come like that. That's what he wants from us. That's what he wants for us. So today we just invite Yeshua to just be with us as he already is with us. And we just say, Abba Father, come and have your way today and just minister to our hearts. Break open the ground in our hearts that needs to be broken open, and let your will be done for our lives. Let your word really, really just penetrate into our hearts and find every single place that it needs to flow into, Father. And we just really invite you in, and we say thank you for being with us, Yeshua. Yosef, welcome to you this evening, and it's going to be a great time in the Restoration Hour.
Amen. I think last week we had a really wonderful time, and I'm really looking forward to this evening as we share around the word of Yahweh. But also, you know, every week Aliyah has been different. And as we have said, the Restoration Hour changed from, you know, the coffee break to the Restoration Hour. And that's our heart's desire with this time, that it will be a time where we can really just be restored. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the evening, I pray that that is exactly what will happen. So let's pray, and then let's get into what we want to talk about this evening and share around the scripture and allow the Father just to lead us. Father, we want to thank you in Yeshua's name for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you today that you are our Father and that you are our King. And Father, we really want to pray this evening that as we fellowship around your word, Father, that everything that has happened this week, everything, Father, that is still happening even right now, Father, will be silenced by your Ruach. Father, that we will put that to the side, allow your Spirit to come, Father, and to take control and to speak to us. I pray, Father, that there will be no worry, no fear, no distractions, Father, and that we'll be able to hear what your Spirit says to us. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your people that join us. We pray, Father, that you will bless them. In the wonderful name of Yeshua Mashiach, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know what, Yosef? We are going to be talking about something really cool this evening. Do you know that?
I know.
We are going to be, you know, really looking at Matthew 13 this evening. And this is something that Abba Father has really laid on our hearts, and a precious scripture that, you know, is so important. And also a lot of us kind of know, but this evening, like I always say, let's lift up what we think we know and suspend it for a moment to hear something new. And of course, we're going to be talking, you know, about this beautiful parable that Yeshua really told all these people that were gathered around him. There were so many people that, you know, he sat in a boat to really preach to them and position himself as this, you know, wonderful teacher, teaching them all these things. I mean, imagine that's how it was that day. You know, the water lapping at the Sea of Galilee, so many people gathered on the, you know, on the shore there looking at him. And him, imagine how powerful his voice must have been, Yosef. I mean, he's sitting in a boat that's like bobbing on the water. He probably wasn't far out. I mean, the boat was like moored, you know, somewhere close to the shore, but just this crowd gathered there. I mean, there was no megaphone, no speakers, you know. He just started preaching and teaching to the people. And when we think about the parable of the sower, as it's called, you know, we've heard it so many times. We've had the church preach it so many times that we've almost become kind of very, very, you know, used to it. But in actual fact, it begins, you know, with Yeshua saying, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. It says, behold, if you look at the original, when he's sitting in the boat and he's beginning to teach to them, he says, listen carefully. And then, of course, ends it off with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. And this already should tell us, before we've even got into it, that this is a very, very important story. It's a very, very important parable. And he's alluding to the fact that this is actually quite something quite deep. We think we know it and understand it. But he who has ears to hear, let him hear, is mentioned consistently in the book of Revelation when there are deep revelations and truths given to people. And you need, you know, a depth of the spiritual understanding to grasp it. And so today we pray that you will be hearing something new, but also I pray that the message, you know, during the restoration hour today will be a spiritual one that's going to touch your heart, and that you will come away, you know, the challenge that I'm giving right at the beginning is, what kind of hearer are you? How do you hear the word? What kind of listener are you? And Yeshua says, you know, behold, listen up, listen carefully. And that is what he's really saying. And you know what, Yosef, before we get into this, I want to say this is called the parable of the sower, but it should really be called the parable of the soil, because that's actually what it's about. It's all not so much about the sower. It is about the sower. Of course, it's about Yeshua and those whom Yeshua, you know, ordains to minister his word and throw the seed. But ultimately, the richness of the teaching lies in the soil that the seed will fall into. And it's interesting to note that the Hebrew word for soil is also a word that we know quite well as well. It's the word used for the earth, which is Adama, which is where we get Adam, human beings, humankind, the word from. So we as human beings are actually deeply connected to the soil. Amen. And we are almost a representation of the earth, of the soil. And so that already gives us an indication that when Yeshua is talking about soil, he's not talking about what's in our garden. He is talking about us. He is talking about people. He is talking about us who were taken from the earth and had his breath breathed into us so that we could become alive and living. And so he's really, really speaking to people, and he's now starting to refer to, what kind of person are you? What kind of hearer are you? You know, it's not about, you know, are you saved or not saved? Because that's how the church has taught us. You know, oh, all, you know, these three people, they just aren't saved. The last one is saved. This is not true. This is a parable that's speaking to everyone who believes in Yeshua. And even so, if you believe in Yeshua, you can still have a few issues that can stop you from fully growing.
Amen. You know, Leah, last week we spoke about the importance of bearing fruit and the importance of having fruit that remains and being a disciple that has the fruit that remains. And I just did a teaching last night that I put out on the importance of maturity, and, you know, the whole understanding of, are we once saved, always saved, and how Yeshua views this. So in light of all of this, I believe that this passage of scripture is one of utmost importance. And why I say that is because it is one of those parables, one of the only parables that is found in every single one of the Gospels. So it's not, like you said, it's a parable about the soil, it's a parable about the sower, but in essence, it's a parable of parables. It's a parable of all things. It's telling us a story that is for the readers and the hearers right there, but it's also for this generation that we are in. And it's got everything to do with, like you said, what kind of hearer are you, and what kind of person are you going to be once you hear? So let's read what it says. It says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "And on that day Yeshua went out from the house and sat by the sea, and large crowds were gathered together to him, so that when he went into a boat and sat down, and all the crowd stood on the beach, and he spoke to them much in parables, saying," and this is where it starts, and he says, "See, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed some, indeed fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. And others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil." You know, he is so, he's so direct, or so he's focusing directly on what he wants to say. And it's so important that we read these words. We've heard it, like you said, over and over and over. But when you read this passage again, over and over, you actually begin to see how important it is, and how he is speaking in such a way that we need to take notice. So it goes on and it says, "And others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. And others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them." And then he says, "And others fell on good soil," and there you have it. It's talking directly about the soil. And it says, "Those that fell on the good soil yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear. And the taught ones came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the heavens, but to them it has not been given. For whoever possesses, to him more shall be given, and he shall have overflowingly. But whoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. Because of this, I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Yeshayahu is completely filled, which says, hearing you shall hear, and by no means understand. And seeing you shall see, and by no means perceive. For the heart of this people has become thickened, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn back, and I heal them. And blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous ones longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You know, Leah, you started off and you spoke about Revelation and how important the book of Revelation is. But you know, Yeshayahu, Isaiah, his whole ministry in Isaiah was to call Israel back from a place of wickedness, a place where they were unrepentant, where they were living in wickedness, where their hearts had turned away from Yahweh. And Isaiah preaches, and he continues to preach, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets, actually even Ezekiel and Elijah, they're all preaching this message of repentance, a change not only of your mindset, but a change of your heart, that your heart is the very place where the seat on the throne of Yahweh is, that if your heart is divided or your heart is split in two, then you're not going to have soil that is going to be able to cultivate this word, the seeds that are going to be sowed in your life. And so many times people have this encounter with Yeshua where they go forward to be saved, and I put it in inverted commas, saved, but that experience that they have is a mind experience. Mm. It's my mind is telling me that what I'm hearing, the person preaching, is important and I need to change because I'm feeling something. But then they go forward to be prayed for, but it's only the mind and not the heart. So the heart hasn't changed. And Yeshua is saying, you know, I'm preaching this to these people. I'm telling them what they need to hear, but they cannot understand it. And it's not because the Spirit of Yahweh has hidden this from them. It's not because he's speaking a secret message to them. The message is plain and the message is simple and it's easy for the people to hear. But the reason why they can't perceive it and understand it is because of a hardness of their heart, because their hearts, like he says, are wicked. Their hearts are unrepentant. Their hearts are not able to change. So if our hearts are hardened and our hearts are not being changed, then no matter how much preaching we hear, no matter how many times we hear that we need to change, we will go forward every single Sunday, or every single time that someone calls us forward, we'll go forward. And that's why you see the same thing happening over and over in congregations, where people come forward for prayer, a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, there's no deliverance, there's no freedom, because people have a false understanding, Aaliyah, of what salvation is. What are you actually saved from? Am I saved from my sin, or am I saved and delivered? You know, that word Yeshua actually means deliverance, that we are delivered from our sins. We are not only delivered from our sins, but we also delivered from the wicked things and the things that torment us, those things that our guilt, our shame, all those things. That's what it means. So when you make true teshuvah versus repentance, the one is versus your mind versus your heart. And that's why Yeshua is talking here. He's talking about the soil, and he's the one that's sowing the seed. He's going out and he's proclaiming the seed of the kingdom of Yahweh, which is not, you know, the gospel according to, as we've been heard, you know, that he came, he died, he rose again. That's only half of the story. The gospel is that Yeshua came for his people, Israel, to be reconciled to the Father so that we can be part of that family. And if we're part of the family, then we need to keep the rules. And if we keep the rules, then our hearts will remain pure and our hearts will remain in the right place. So it's a story of stories, but a parable of parables that tells us the truth about how we produce a harvest. Because if you listen carefully what he's saying, you know, some people listened, there was joy when they heard the message. And think about it like this. So many people turn this parable upside down and say, well, you know, those first three have to be unbelievers. But that's not the way I see it, because it says there was joy when they heard the message. But then when trials come and tribulation comes, it says that then the seed was taken, or it was choked, or the sun came up. So think about joy in the essence of joy. The scripture tells us that when we are saved, we receive joy in our hearts because of that changed life. So it's the beginning process of somebody coming forward and saying, I need to be healed, I need to be changed. So they receive the word. They're not rejecting the word that's being proclaimed. They receive the word. But then trials come, tribulation comes, things come, doubts come, worries. And he says it plainly. He says the worries of the world have come, you know, finances, We worry about our finances. We worry about what people say about us. All these things become these things that choke us. And not only that, the enemy can come just like the birds came and ate the seed that was fallen on hard soil, hard ground. So if our hearts have not been totally changed by the message, but it was only a message into our heads, then that is when a person who confesses Yeshua, we see backsliding and going backwards and regressing in their faith, because there was no place in their heart where there was actual change from the heart. The soil wasn't changed, it was only the mind. And if it's only the mind, we're going to fall short.
No experiential knowledge, as we would say, no experiential knowledge of what it means to really follow Yeshua. In other words, it's not really fully experienced from a depth. And you know what, Yosef, there's a lot of people that serve Yahweh, you know, from their mind. They say, you know, don't, you know, it's all got to be in your thoughts. It's all got to be in your mind. But truly, the depth of things has to be experienced in your heart, and it has to be experienced down on a very, very deep level, not just, you know, in your mind, because our minds can, you know, perceive and receive a lot of things and can understand a lot of things, but it's at a depth where we need to receive things. And you know, that first group, you know, you spoke about repentance as well. A lot of times people do repent, you know, of their sins, and they say, well, I'm saved because I'm forgiven. Yeshua, you know, took away my sin. But then this, I believe, relates to that first covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. It's the entry point. Mm-hmm. You've repented, you've come in. But then we have this first group where when he sows the seed, it falls on the ground, you know, between the fields. And that was a place where, you know, people would walk. Yeshua and his disciples walk through fields, you know, plucking on the heads of the grain. That is the place that he's talking about, that pathway. And sometimes, you know, sowers would sow with their hands, or they would use, you know, oxen, and then they would plow the fields and put the sand, you know, around, and then they would put the seed in. And this is really what he's referring to here. And it's really speaking about people who, like you said, maybe are sitting in a congregation, maybe sitting in a Torah group, maybe sitting here this evening, who hear the word. I don't believe people who are sitting here this evening are like this, but you know, people who hear the word, but they don't do it with any intention. There's no attentiveness. There's no sense of, you know, depth. There's none of this. I want to receive it. How can I apply this to my life? How can I take it in? What can I hear? They just actually simply say, well, you know what, this thing you're preaching to me, it's not for me. And that is a big thing that we see. We see this among people who don't want to accept the Torah, even who don't want to accept that there's guidelines and instructions for holy living. They will say, I've taken care of repentance and I've kind of entered in, but these things are actually not for me. Don't come here with those Hebrew words, and don't come here with that, you know, Sabbath keeping stuff. Like, this is not for me, you know. And it's that hardness of heart. It's a real hardness. And you know, real first covenant just entered in and remain like that for the next 50 years kind of people, who the word is preached to them, and Yahweh sends witnesses across their path, and he sends people to preach to them, and he sends people, you know, who will just minister to them, you know, just openly among friendships or relationships or family members or work colleagues. But because they have this hardness of heart, they have this, and this heart that doesn't desire truth, it doesn't desire, you know, those deeper things, there's no attention paid, there's no want, there's something more, then this is what happens. It just goes there, and the birds will come and take away the precious seed. Let us not forget here that seed in and of itself is incredibly special. And this seed, think about it, you know, if let's think about it for a moment. This same seed that's been offered to one person, and that person just allows it to fall in the hardness of their heart, the seed gets choked up or taken by the birds or burnt away, it's just gone. But then that same seed that's given to someone else that has had that heart change produces a harvest. Anyone that's into gardening will know that when you plant a flower or a tree, the greatest gift you can see is that plant or that tree producing a harvest. And most of the time we plant, you know, flowers that we can't eat. So it's not about a harvest to eat just because we've been selfish. It's about watching it grow and nurturing that, you know, soil and that seed, and allowing it to be this most beautiful gift. Yeshua offers the same thing to you, to me, and to everybody. But it's got to do with our hearts that determines what is going to happen in our lives. So someone that rejects the word of Yahweh, rejects, you know, Torah truth, rejects even the word of Yahweh saying, do this, do that for your own life, which is that experiential truth and knowledge, is taking that and is actually, you've got gold that's being offered to you. Absolute gold. You didn't even have to go and, you know, kind of go on a treasure hunt for it. Yeshua offers it to you, but you actually don't allow it to go anywhere because you have a hard heart. But someone else who takes that and puts it in their heart produces something that cannot be taken away from them. And that is so special to think that Yeshua offers that to all of us, you know, and it's up to us and our heart condition to determine what we're going to do. You know, I'm reminded of that scripture where Yahweh speaks to the people and he says, I'm going to take out of you that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then he says, because then by having a heart of flesh, you'll be able to perceive, you'll be able to follow my covenant, you'll be able to be in that fellowship with me, you'll be able to hear my laws, you'll be able to obey what I say. And so that is actually what it's about as well. Allowing Yeshua to take out that heart of stone and giving a heart of flesh. And a heart of flesh is a very deep, deep thing that, I mean, will take another restoration hour to unpack. It's not just about receiving repentance. It's not just about when you hear the gospel preach, you respond. You know, that is just an entry point. But having a heart of flesh is something that comes after repentance. And that is going to determine whether we can handle the seed or not.
Amen. You know, he says very clearly to his disciples too, he tells them that they are these people that are listening because of their hearts, they are not able to perceive the treasures of heaven. And that's exactly how it is. You know, so many times you'll go and talk to somebody who believes, but they are unable to comprehend the depths of the word of Yahweh or the importance of the instructions of Yahweh or going further with Yahweh, because it is beyond comprehension for them, because it has to be given to you by the Spirit, and it can only be given to a person whose heart the Spirit and is there to help us receive that heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. So if we're rejecting his Spirit, then we're also rejecting the fact that our hearts will never change. And if our hearts don't change, he cannot share that which is holy with someone that's profane. The scriptures tell us very, very clearly that, you know, no defilement or no unholy thing can stand in the presence of Yahweh. So the same applies with the very treasures. Those very holy things of Yahweh cannot be perceived by people whose hearts are divided or filled with idols. And unfortunately today, we've said this before, and you know what's interesting is so many people will turn around and say, well, you know, the last words that Yeshua spoke was in Matthew chapter 24, but that's not the truth. The last words that Yeshua speaks is found in the book of Revelation, and over in the book of Revelation, he warns the congregations not to fall into idolatry, not to turn away from serving him, not to turn away and serve false gods. And the same sins that Israel fell into way back in the very beginning is going to be the same sins that we as the people of Yahweh today are still going to be falling into. You know, people, we have to understand that our hearts is the very place that the enemy wants. He wants your heart. He wants you to turn away from Yahweh. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to fear. He wants you to, you know, to deny Yeshua even as the Savior. He wants you to do all these things. So the place that he attacks is first your mind. And once he gets your mind, it filters down into your heart. And eventually your heart turns from being a place that is the very dwelling of Yeshua into a place where there is no light. There is no spirit. There is a hardness that takes place. So it's important that as the people of Yahweh that we continue to cultivate the soil of our hearts. We are the people of Yahweh, and we are the ones that have to cultivate that soil. And how do we do that? By hearing the word of Yahweh, by listening to the word of Yahweh, by having the word of Yahweh preached to us, by praying, by spending time in intimate moments with him, by not, you know, saying to ourselves, well, I'm okay, I don't need to do this. We have to press in to the place of holiness. We have to press into the place of the King where our hearts can be changed, because we live in a world, Aaliyah, that is defiled. We live in a world that is corrupt. We live in a world where people are without love, where people are against us continually, where they're against Yahweh himself. So those of us who stand for truth and righteousness will always, the scriptures say, will be persecuted. You will be persecuted for my name's sake. And if we take issues in the heart, our hearts will become hardened to the things that Yahweh wants us to do, and we will be hurt, or we'll be in pain, or we'll be, you know, moved to regress and stand away instead of moving forward. So it's important that we know our identity in Messiah Yeshua first and foremost, and then that we build upon that foundation that is put inside of our hearts. And that's why he says some will produce 30-fold, some will produce 60, and others 100. It doesn't mean that the guy that's producing 30-fold is wrong. It just means that Yahweh has more for him. Yahweh has more. Hopefully he pushes on, or she pushes on, to 60-fold. And from there pushes on to 100-fold. You know, it comes back to what Paul said, the good, the pleasing will. There's nothing wrong with the guy that's doing the good will, but it's only the good will of Yahweh. So to your good will, you have to add more faith to your faith, more obedience to your obedience, so that eventually you turn from just being that individual that has now changed and accepted Yeshua to becoming Yeshua-like. And Yeshua fulfilled everything that his father asked him. He kept the words. And that's why he says, I don't do anything without, you know, what the father tells me. So those very words bring life. I believe that the word of Yahweh, the very word of Yahweh from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, is that seed, but it is also the ability and the power that Yahweh gives us by reading it to cultivate that soil in our lives, so that the fruit can grow, so that the harvest can come, so that we can have that image of Yeshua in us, the very character. You know, Yeshua walked around in the character of his father. When people saw him, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the father, because he was the exact representation of his father. So the same thing applies with us. If Yeshua was producing fruit continually, if he was doing what his father asked him to do, then we too should be doing what he asks us to do. And it's not a difficult thing. It's a love relationship. When our hearts are committed to the one that we love, and it's not, you know, committed to a little bit of idols here, a little bit of idols there, but if our hearts are committed to the one that we love, then there should be fruit, and there should be this change, and there should be this desire to move forward with him.
Wow, you know what? This parable is actually really, really special, and it's actually an incredible challenge for all of us who hear and hear this word and listen to it. And so let's go to our first song of the evening. It's called All I Am. Enjoy this song, and we're going to continue talking about Matthew 13 when we get back.
I know they're empty, but with you they can be used for beauty in your perfect plan. All I am is yours. Take these feet. I know they stumble, but you use the weak. You use the humble, so please use me. All I give you all my life, I'm letting it go.
song. I love that song, All I Am by Phil Wickham. Now, we were talking just before we went to the song, we were actually talking about Matthew 13 and the parable that I've now called the parable of the soil, but otherwise known as the parable of the sower. And it is so important for us to have these ears to hear, to really understand and perceive what, you know, the Father is really trying to say to us through this parable, but also, you know, how it applies to our lives and where do we stand in this, you know? And that's the beauty of practicing truth, you know, with Abba Father and with ourselves, to know, where do I stand in all of this? And, you know, verse 5, Yosef talks about the seed that fell on rocky ground, which did not have much soil. And at once it sprung up, but because there was no depth of soil, it was scorched when the sun rose. And obviously, you know, in a place like that, where there's a lot of rocks and there's just this little bit of seed that takes root, you know it's going to get really hot on those rocks. You know, when the sun shines, it gets really hot in those places. And it's, you know, this really speaks, this, I think, verse 5, this rocky ground is actually the hardest one to kind of, the hardest person to reach with the gospel, because here we have someone that, again, with joy, kind of hears the word really, really quickly, doesn't really consider what they're hearing, doesn't consider the fact that there's a life change that needs to be made, that, you know, this is a repentance thing, that Yeshua is the Messiah, the ultimate, I've got to lay down everything else. There's no kind of thought here. There's just, you know, what we would say, like people that just go to church and then suddenly hear a message and then the emotions sweep them away. Now it's not in their mind. It's now this quick emotional thing. And it's like, wow, oh yes, I profess this. But there's no thought to it. There's no reality. There's no repentance. There's no brokenness, which we always say leads to that incredible openness. It's just a receiving quickly and, you know, let's get on with it. And then once they leave that building, go back to their life, you know, things happen. And yes, we know sun and everything speaking about this tribulation. There comes trial. There comes, you know, your faith is going to be tested. And it just withers away. And a lot of people would say, well, people like that aren't then really saved. You know, they never were really saved because, you know, the hardness of their heart wasn't broken, you know, by the Spirit of Yeshua. There was no full repentance. There was no even root. There was no place for the seed to really find, to really grow. And in a way, yes, you know, this is someone that is not like the first person that we spoke about who was just, you know, inattentive and just said, I'm saved, but these things aren't for me. This is someone who quickly professes faith and thinks in that moment it's the right thing to do, but walks away and goes, you know, ugh, no, you know, ugh, it's been a week and I was there and I said Yeshua is the Messiah, but this lifestyle, this isn't really for me. And there's nothing that can make that seed stay, and it's going to go and it's going to get burnt up. And this is so sad because, you know, I'm sure that many of us have witnessed people who have done this, even in our own families maybe, you know, or someone that quickly has a need, that is what it is as well. You have a lot of people who, when they go through hard times, just in the world in general, they take to praying, you know, or they take to going to fellowship at a congregation, or they draw closer to a friend of theirs who's a believer because they need that spiritual input and they're yearning for that something that's going to get them through their hard time. But once the hard time is over, that desire vanishes because there's no root, there's no depth. And it's actually quite intense to realize that Yeshua, like you said right at the beginning, he's very direct. Yeshua is wonderfully direct often and saying, you know, this is how some of you sitting here are. He's saying to them as they're standing in front of him, this is how some of you are. You know, you're sitting here, but there's no lifestyle change. You're not going to change. You're here because you want to hear what I have to say. You're here because of what I can give you. But there's really no lifestyle change.
Yeah, amen. You know, Leah, I think that point that you made about no lifestyle change is extremely important. And I think, you know, oftentimes as believers, even those, you know, that now follow the Torah and we're trying to, you know, walk this road out, it applies to us too, because so often we forget these words. We forget what Yeshua is saying, and we cannot tend to or stop and say to ourselves, well, I'm happy to just be producing 30%. You know, what also needs to be understood here is that, you know, this fourth soil is, like we said, it's the heart that is repentant. It's the message that was proclaimed, that was spoken by Yeshua or by the one that was sowing the seed, by whoever it was. You know, back in the Tanakh and in the Old Testament, we read that it was the prophets that were speaking, and those who listened to the message and repented, they were the ones that were saved. They were the ones whose hearts were changed. And it comes all down to heart. So we cannot help but notice that these three types of harvest come from a fertile soil. But that fertile soil, we need to understand, it only happens when there is true repentance and a heart change that takes place. And many people think, you know, that this fourth soil is only speaking about a true disciple. But I don't think that it's necessarily the case. It's actually talking about somebody who accepts Yeshua and then goes through the process of going from being just a believer into being a true disciple. So there has to be that process of sanctification. But the process that gets taken is happening because of a heart that is really repentant. So it's not just a mindset, it's a heart change, like we said. And you know, this is also important. How do we go from just being this believer into being a disciple? And I think that's the problem why so many people fall away, or why so many people don't mature, because they only apply half the Bible to their lives. And this is not a hammer at anybody, but it's the truth. We have to hear the truth. Yeshua says, "These words that I speak to you are the very words from my Father." You know, Yeshua spoke the words of life to his disciples. And being saved is that restoration of being able to stand in the source of life, in the presence of the one who is the source of life. That's what it means to be saved. So we are not saved to automatically now go to heaven. We are saved at that very moment to begin to live a life of holiness and righteousness and set apartness, so that we might return to that way that it was in the garden, of that intimate relationship with the Father. That's what it's about. We are now able, through repentance and the sacrifice of Yeshua, to return to the presence of the source of life, which is Yahweh. Our sin separated us from Him. So when we truly, truly repent, we are then able to come back into the presence of the Father. And right there, right at that very moment, when Yeshua was speaking to the people, what did He say? He said, "The kingdom of Yahweh is here now in your midst." It wasn't something about, okay, I'm saved, so that one day when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and then all my problems. No, right now, when you're saved, begin to live the life of freedom and deliverance right now. Don't wait for the day that comes at the end where you say, okay, well, I'm saved. You know, I messed up a little bit along the way. I slept around. I did all these things. I used some drugs, but it's okay. I'm once saved, always saved. I'm going to go to heaven. That's not what it's talking about. Yeshua is looking for a servant, a person who will take what has been given. And He says that very clearly. He says, to those who have been given and do something with what they have, they are the ones that are going to be fruitful. They are the ones that are going to inhabit the kingdom. So His disciples were not just people that were hanging around. They got busy with the Father's business. So they were busy doing the kingdom work that He desired them to do. And because of that, they had moved from what? The realm of darkness into the source of life's realm, which was the realm of light. And they were living in that place. That's why Peter was able to go and say to that man at the temple, "Hey, I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have." What did he have? He had the power of the source of life within him. And he was able to say to that man, "Get up and walk." Why? Because his heart had changed. Peter's heart had changed from being the doubting, questioning guy that he was, to being the man of power and boldness, because his heart had totally changed. He wasn't producing just 30-fold. He was producing 100-fold. And because he was doing that, Yahweh in him was giving life and hope to those around him. You know, one of the things I want to say this evening too is this. We need to understand something, and it's very important. We cannot lie and say that it's going to be a road that is easy. This is not an easy journey. It is a difficult road. Being a disciple and following Yeshua is a matter of denying yourself on a daily basis, picking up your stake and following Him 100%. But it is a life of fulfillment. It is a life of bearing fruit. It is a life of intimacy. And it is a life of understanding. Like He said, "I will share these hidden secrets with you. I will give you the treasures that are found in dark places if you continue to walk with me." That's what he's saying. But at the same time, we also need to understand that why does Yeshua desire us to produce fruit? It's because He wants people that are willing to stand up for this truth. You know, we cannot profess this truth and we cannot say, okay, you know what, I keep the Torah, I do all these things, but we are not willing to actually stand up for this truth that we believe in. There's going to come a time, Elia, soon, where the saints of Yahweh are going to be called upon to stand up for the truth that they have believed and the things that they are doing. And if we have a heart that's divided, it's going to be very difficult to stand up for that truth and to continue standing up, because it says that you will be hated. Brother will hate brother. And who's our brothers? It's our believers, those that are around us. It's the family of Yahweh. Those that didn't receive a 100%, you know, the harvest of the heart and didn't desire to repent are going to be the ones that are going to start questioning the message that you proclaim out of your mouth. And the way that you serve Yahweh is going to be questioned by your brothers and your sisters that are supposedly in the faith. And they're going to be the ones that are going to pull out the first, you know, the first axe or the first gun and want to shoot you in the sense of, you know, in a spiritual sense, because they are going to think that you're too radical or you're too crazy. But Yeshua says that you will be hated by your own brothers and by your own sisters. And it's important that we understand that. So I want to ask this question this evening. You know, this type of obedience that Yeshua is actually talking to his disciples here, this type of obedience and repentance, I really want to say this evening, that it is actually lacking in the body of Messiah. This 100% sold out obedience is lacking, and Yahweh is trying to revive it in his people. He's trying to show them his power, his love, his truth, and what he desires from us. And we need to be willing to, you know, to stand up for this truth that we believe in, and also willing to get to a point where we rebuke at some point in our lives the things that hinder us, where we speak out against these things, where we instruct people in the right way. Are you willing to be a disciple that helps other people and instructs them in the right way? You know, we spoke about a lot in the teachings, Elia, as well, about being a gatekeeper. And to be a gatekeeper means that you're standing in the position that Yahweh has placed you as a gatekeeper that either allows or disallows the things of Yahweh in your life. And by allowing the darkness in your life, you're actually producing a sphere or a place of darkness. But when we are in Yahweh and he is in us and his words are abiding in us, we are gatekeepers to that very presence of the King, so that wherever we go, we are actually exhibiting that fragrance, that power, that authority, that awesomeness of Yahweh, if I have to put it that way, to everybody around us. And it comes, that only comes, if you look at the type and foreshadow of Yeshua's life, it comes through what? Obedience to the voice of his Father. He listened to everything that his Father told him, and he did exactly what he was told to do. So a heart that is sold out to Yahweh will be an obedient heart, but it will also be a heart that hears, and a heart that hears will then act. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and our faith should then produce in us obedience, which changes the lives of people around us. So are you, my question this evening is, are you willing to be that kind of person?
Are we willing to be that kind of person? You know, Yosef, I want to end off with I think, the part of the parable that is actually the scariest, you know, it's verse 7, which says that the other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, they came, and then they choked the seed. And I think that is the most important part here, because the truth of the matter is that what is going on, Yosef?
I want to say one thing. You know, I think that what we need to understand too is that a faith like this that we're talking about this evening, a faith like this, is a faith that is ready to do what is uncomfortable, not for fame. You know, there's too many people that want to do what is necessary for their own fame and for their own publicity and for their own ministry or for their own kingdom. That's not what he's asking. He wants somebody that is willing to do this and produce a heart that has a harvest for the restoration of his presence, the presence of the King in a world that doesn't understand who Yahweh is. He's looking for somebody that will stand there and say, I'm willing to do this, so that people can look at your life, understand the words that you're speaking, and see the presence of Yahweh. Not your ministry, not your own fame, not the book that you wrote, not the things that you do, not the songs that you sing. Everything needs to point back to Yahweh, so that the world out there can really know that this is Yahweh, the Elohim that created the heavens and the earth.
What you're saying is absolutely so true. And you know, Yosef had his hand up when I started talking, and that's why I was like, what is going on? Do you have a question? You know what? It's so true, because this is the scary part about the seed that fell among the thorns. It was really, you know, this is a person whose conscience was really moved, and whose heart was moved, and whose heart is broken open, and has tasted repentance, and has fully repented, and has gone deeper with Yeshua. But yet, you know, I started at the beginning as well as saying that the soil, the word soil in Hebrew, is the same word for human beings, from where we come. And then when we look at thorns, what happened? You know, when they sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve, eating of that fruit that they weren't supposed to eat, you know, the ground said it was cursed and will grow up what? Thorns. And so thorns are this representation of what is earthly, what is bad from the earth. You know, not what is good, but it's all sorts of sin. It's all sorts of desires for things that are sinful. And again, it comes down to selfishness as well, you know, and things of this world that catch people's attention, and people that serve Yeshua but are lured by other things. Like you said, you know, you hear people talk a lot and they say, oh, my platform, or I'm going to build this platform, and I'm going to do this thing. And you're like, what is this platform? What are you talking about? And so it's the lure of that. And that is the kind of opposite of a holy lifestyle. And that is why it is important for us to look at this and say, you know, we want to fully be of the second Adam, reborn from him, you know, who is completely spiritual. We are pursuing the spiritual things from a heart that is broken open, and that we are pursuing the things that are of him and that are spiritual in nature. It's not about the earthly things, those things that are referred to as the thorns, the things that, you know, you can't, when you're around a thorn and it gets on you, it's going to hurt. You know, you can't be surrounded by thorns without getting pricked, without shedding blood, you know, without, you know, feeling the pain of it. And that's what's going to happen. You're going to get really scarred by those sins. And if people keep on, you know, kind of having the salvation, but yet playing around, it is not a good thing. And it's always, always necessary to do that stock take, like we always say, of your heart and of your life, saying, where am I, Yeshua? I want to produce, you know, am I here today producing 30? Am I here today producing 60? Am I here today producing 100? Or maybe are there a few thorns in my life that I just need to pull out? And you know what, hey, those thorns can look very different from what you actually think that they could look like. I've met a lot of people who actually their thorn in their life is their husband or wife, because they love that person so much that that person becomes an idol to them. Their children, or, you know, their business that Yahweh gave to them as their baby, as part of their purpose. I've met other people whose thorns in life are actually their purpose in Yeshua, because they're more thinking about what they can do as opposed to who Yeshua is and who they need to be. And if they don't have that husband, they don't have that wife, they don't have that business, they don't have that thing, they don't have that cushion in their bank account, their faith will literally fall out from underneath them. The ground will be pulled away. And that is also the thorns that come and choke the word, because the heart is not positioned fully to be really, really running after Yeshua. But there are other things standing in the way. And so we always got to look at ourselves. The most beautiful things in our lives could be taking the place that Yeshua should be taking, and will prevent us from producing. And Yosef, you know what's you know, crazy to me is that a lot of, you know, preachers and pastors and teachers like to teach that this 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, it has got to do with your gifts and your talents and your purpose. You know, that's the only thing that you bring forth. How many souls you take to heaven, how many times you've preached the gospel, how many times you've been in ministry, how many times you've, you know, shared the word. It's not so. This is a harvest of our hearts as well. This is not just purpose related or how many things you can do for him. It's about your relationship with him and how many things you do in obedience to him. And that's not in front of other people. That's not where people know or see. But it's about the intimate walk that you have with him. And that's what brings forth, you know, that fruit in our lives. And where are we at with this? Like you said, the good, the pleasing or the perfect will of Yahweh. And that's got to do with righteousness and obedience. Mm. I'm going to end off with saying that this week I read something that someone shared, and they said that righteousness is completely a work of Yeshua. We can do nothing. We just have to obtain it. And I thought, wow, that's some very scary thinking about righteousness is completely given to us, and we need to do nothing about, you know, keeping our garments clean, keeping ourselves. You know, yes, Yeshua died. When we received him and his righteousness. But we can fall away. We can, you know, become a person of the thorns. We can have rocky ground. Our hearts haven't been changed. We can be people filled with, you know, the burdens of this world, that we just, you know, start to slowly but slowly lose what Yeshua gave us when we were first saved. It's dangerous to think that Yahweh does everything and I have to do nothing. We have to produce this harvest, and we have to see that it is so important to our spiritual walk. 30, 60, or 100, and may we be producing 100, because it's going to be beautiful when we can do that. So we're going to go to our final song of the evening, called You Delight in Me. If you have a prayer request, please put it down during the song. We would love to pray for you and with you when we get back. So enjoy the song.
Father, this evening I want to say thank you that you do delight in us, and Father, that you want the best for us. And I pray this evening, Father, that the word that we have spoken, Father, that it will take root in the hearts and lives of every single person. Father, we know that you love us, that you care for us. We pray, Yeshua, this evening that you will strengthen us, that we will be able to be the witnesses that you want us to be, that we will not be people, Father, that say it's someone else's duty or responsibility, but instead, Father, that we will produce fruit because we want to be obedient. We want to give back to you, Yeshua, because of all that you have done for us. We want to be the light in a dark generation. We want to be your witnesses, Father, on this earth until you return. And I pray, Father, that you will fill your people, Father, with your Spirit more and more on a daily basis. Father, as they spend time with you, as they pray, as they seek you, Father, I pray that you will really fill them until they overflow. And Father, that they will be witnesses for you, Father. They will not be afraid, Father, to speak up for you. They will not be afraid to walk in obedience. Mm-hmm. They will not be afraid, Father, to allow you to inspect their hearts, Father, to see and to test and to examine them, Father, on a daily basis so that they can be stronger in you, so that they can be a more effective witness, Father, and a better husband, better wife, a better father, a better mother. We thank you, Father, that you create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. If we are willing, Father, and if we obey, and if we cry out to you, as we heard last week too, Father, that Yeshua is the stone, Father, that we either fall upon or the stone that falls upon us. Help us, Abba Father, to fall upon Yeshua in repentance, in surrender, so that he can lift us up, so that he can restore us, so that he can help us, Father, to be the people that you want us to be. We thank you for every single person that has joined us this evening and those that will still listen later. We pray, Abba Father, that you will strengthen them, that you will guide them. And Father, that this week that lies ahead will be a new week, Father, for each and every one of us. New opportunities, Father, new challenges. And also, Father, that we will overcome in everything that we do, that we will have the eyes to see and ears to hear, that we will not be, Father, of those that Yeshua spoke about that do not have the eyes to see or ears to hear. And we thank you for this. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you on the Restoration Hour today. Thank you so much for joining us. And next week, we will not be on the Restoration Hour as we have a lot of things going on that week, that day next week, Sunday. So may you have a Shavua, Shavua Tov. We will see you again on the 17th. Take care and may Yahweh richly bless you and your family. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
I find it's always the lie that is loudest. I know the one with the power is never the one who is shouting, shouting. I lean in, I know that I need to listen. Through all of the thunder you whisper, even in doubt you are with me, with me. Like a love song that I've always known, your word hits me deep inside my soul. When you speak, in the sound of peace, be still. The wind and the waves bow to your will. You drown my fear with a love more real than anything, anything I feel. When you speak, when you speak, I know you're not the God of confusion. Why do I feel like I'm losing my mind every time? I can't see what you're doing. Like a love song that I've always known, your word hits me deep inside my soul. When you speak, I'm found in the sound of peace, be still. The wind and the waves bow to your will. You drown my fear with a love more real than anything.
melody set in heaven's perfect key. Redemption's frequency healing me, healing me. It's the Father whispering mercy over it.